Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very week's very episode of our weekly podcast, Flats and Shanks. I'm Di Flats.
Hi, I'm Tom Shanklin.
All right, Tom.
How are you?
All right, fella.
I'm really good, mate. Six Nations is over. Had a bit of a break slash half a day off. You know what I'm like. Just work, work, work. Can't get
don't
away
stop,
from
do
it. I don't want to stop.
Don't stop.
I don't want to stop. Keep moving.
Do you reckon you'll fade away if you stop?
Keep moving. Don't stop rocking. You never got to let go. I don't know the words.
That is you in a hairy nutshell, isn't it?
Get on up when you're down. Take a good look around.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm singing there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's the best five song ever. Keep on moving. I can't.
Yeah, it's fine.
I can't do the lyrics off the top of my head. Like, I've got to sing the whole song. Otherwise, I get lost.
Yeah, because you don't know it well enough. Whereas E17,
yeah,
you need nothing, do you? You can take it from anywhere.
Turn the lights off and put some music on. Let our body sing, swing to the soft song. I feel the heat is turning me on. I want to feel you. No, I don't need to go on, do I?
Don't need to go on. You've proved your point.
Yeah, I proved my point. I do other songs as well. Like, I do the Turtle Rap, T-U-R-T-L-E, Power, In a Half Shell, The Heroes Fall, and this day. Yeah, I do loads of stuff. I mean, it's not just commercial. It's some dark, heavy, deep down, non-commercial.
Intelligent jungle.
Yeah.
I met a lady the other day at this dinner, and she was really good fun. But then she said, I was presenting these awards things. She was like, how are you going to do it tonight? I said, what do you mean, how am I going to do it? She's like, what's your style? I said, well, I rap it. Like, I rap everything. And she's like, are you joking? I was like, no. And the bloke who had actually hired me for this thing was sitting in between us. And he goes, no, that's why we've hired him. It's just something completely different.
Yeah.
Because they had Ramen, always forgetting his name.
And Tamak.
Ramesh Ranganathan, the comedian, funny guy.
He's got Bonkai.
Yeah, they had him last year, and I was like, I don't want to follow him. It's like, he was like, we're not going to have Flats follow him, are we? He's a comedian, so we've got a rapper. She's like, oh, cool, nice one. I can rap. It's like, can you? She's like, yeah, honestly, like, I do it all the time. Like, I start off doing it with my kids, but I'm actually quite good. And I was like, go on then. She goes, well, give me any word to rap. And I thought, she's like, give me a word and I'll include it in a freestyle, spitting some bars.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. The bloke sitting next to me was called Simon. I was like, Simon. And she was like, S to the I, to the M, to the O, to the M. I was like, you spelled his name? And she's like, yeah. And like, her name's actually Nikki. N to the I, to the C, to the K, to the I, E. I was like, right, you know that's not rapping. Because she's like, of course it is. That's exactly how they do it.
She spells her name Nikki, I-E at the end.
I-E. Don't trust her. Not in the same boat.
Not having that one bit.
It's
either I or really, a Y.
I really liked her. And then, I'm not having I either, by the way. I really liked her until the not being able to rap thing and thinking it was genuine. She didn't realise that she had been humiliating herself for years. Yeah. And people were laughing at her. And I still liked her after that. And then she spelt her name out via her version of rap, ended with IE, and I thought, we're never going to be friends. Fact.
There's only one way you do that as well. It's L to the I to the B to the E to the R to the T Y. Liberty X. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. That's your only one, mind.
If you'd
done that, I'd have been all right with it, but I wasn't all right with it.
Yeah. Do you know who Jessica from Liberty X is married to?
Brian Harvey.
Kevin Peterson.
You are effing joking me.
I'm not pulling your leg either.
Pulling my plonker?
I just know this stuff.
Are you pulling my plonker? If not, why not?
That's the insight you get with Flats and Shanks, just like celebrity marriages.
Yeah, but it's stuff people actually care about now because it's 2019. So.
Yeah.
So, hey, tell me this. Tell me this. Riddle me this. What you been up to, fella?
I tell you where I was on Thursday.
Where to then?
It was Bourgeois restaurant. Bourgeois.
Was it? Boysdale's.
That's it. You got it. I knew you'd know.
I got it. Burger King.
Yeah.
I knew I'd know.
Began with a B.
Yeah. I'm sure there is a restaurant called Bourgeois, but I'm sure it wasn't there.
Yeah. I'm not very good with names. You know that.
I know that.
Some things stick in, others don't. But
yeah.
Delalio Foundation lunch. Incredible. Wish I'd stayed. It's one of those that I had a late train back to Cardiff, but I didn't want to leave at all. because
that good.
Yeah, it was just flowing so well. They had like the upstairs restaurant, and Mark Dernan Smith, he hosted it. You know what he's like? Mental.
Oh, did he? Oh, I didn't realize he was doing it.
Yeah, Dernan's on top form. Loved just listening to him in general. He had all the boys in stitches, all the investment bankers there, all the IFAs.
He's always on good form. He's permanently and perennially upbeat.
Yeah, and isn't he? Yeah, he is. He's just brilliant. And Johnny Gould was there as well. I don't need to tell you what he was like.
The man.
If you want an auctioneer, he is just the man by mile.
Tommy, we've seen them all, haven't we?
We've seen
them all. Seen ones off the telly as well. They're nothing like Johnny.
What you get with Johnny, you get a comedian, you get entertainment, and an auctioneer, and he never forgets the price. You know when you go off on a tangent sometimes, when you've sometimes got to do an auction?
Yeah, you're like, where are we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I got 500 there. 300, sorry, I got 300 there. But phenomenal. We did a little Q&A on stage, myself, Jim Hamilton, Rob Henderson on good form, Big Lol, obviously, it's his due, and Philip Saint-André.
Yeah, really nice bloke.
They showed Philip Saint-André's try against England, you know, the one from their own dead ball line.
Serge Blanco, Didier Camber-Ribeiro, wasn't it?
Think so.
That put the kick in, yeah.
What a try that was. They were just saying it's possibly up there with the greatest Six Nations try slash greatest try. So, I can't wait for my tries. When they're coming on? No? All right.
They did have a video for you.
That's a shame. Scored four against Romania in one go once. All good.
You scored against the All Blacks, didn't you?
Yeah, but no. It was more to do with how great the try was rather than who was scoring it, I suppose.
But fair's fair, fella.
Fair's fair. Jim Hamilton had a lovely brown jacket on, but, you know, proper...
I've seen that jacket. It's a geography teacher's jacket.
It's not even like a nice brown, is it? It's
no.
It's a horrible brown.
It's weird because the brown is actually in certain, you know, like brown shoes can be nice, but even in like the world of luxury cars, really nice metallic brown is becoming a really classy colour. Like Maserati even launched one of their cars a few years ago in brown, but Jim's brown jacket is just awful.
I'm glad you've seen it because
it
was just awful. I just wondered why he was wearing it. I mean, he's a guy that does a lot of media work, you know, he's bound to have an extensive wardrobe, yet he chose to come dressed as a poo. So, I mean, uppercut there, and I'd bloody do it to him if he was here. Probably.
God, you would as well. You would, wouldn't you?
I'd do it left-handed as well, so I don't knock him out. But he was. He's always on good form. It was just a nice lunch, and everyone was having a few beers. There was also who was there? John Hall was there. Jerry Guscott was there. Phil de Glanville there on a table as well. Adrian Davis, the former 10, who was at Richmond and Wales and coached at London Welsh, he was there as well. So it was a good little catch-up with everyone. Food was delicious, and I was a little bit disappointed when I had to leave. In Canary Wharf. So
yeah, were you funny?
I don't know. You try to be, don't you? But, I mean, there was laughter. Sometimes it's at me, sometimes it's with me, but
yeah,
who cares? It's
sometimes
laughter.
The laughs will disappear.
They will.
Sometimes the laughs will be false.
Yeah, there is no room 365. Friday, went to watch the Blues. They played Scarlets. Absolutely MC hammered them.
Yeah, they absolutely battered them, didn't they?
Bit embarrassing for the Scarlets, if we're brutally honest. A lot of their stars were on the bench.
I'm sure that's going to be in our rugby section.
No, it won't be because we'll a lot of their stars on the bench. But still, they came on at half time, and you know it was better. But what I couldn't work out was the score was something ridiculous. Right, get this: with 4 minutes to go, as I'm scrolling through my tweets, I'm going to tell you what score it was. But it was around 38-12 up with 4 minutes to go. And the Blues decide to go for... I'll tell you what the score was right now. It was 38-12 up, 4 minutes left, and the Blues decide to go for posts.
Yeah.
You what, mate?
Yeah, because I saw some tweets about that.
Just don't get it.
But there must be a reason, mate.
To reach 40, someone have a bet on? I don't know. No one have a bet on. You wouldn't be able to get away with it. But
I'll say it because I'm joking. Everyone knows I'm joking. It's potentially match fixing. in terms of score fixing. I'm joking.
But I couldn't work that out. I hope Josh Navidi's all right. He injured himself. I'm not sure if it's his elbow or his fingers, but
Josh Navidi,
he came off after 5 minutes. Rob Evans went off as well, but he's all right because he's in Dubai at the moment, just seen on Insta.
Oh, he's right then.
Yeah, you're not going away if you're injured. But yeah, hammered the Scarlets. And it was, mate, we'll get to the rugby in a bit. I know that after we've found out what you're doing. But how much better is the rugby now the weather's better?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I want to say this to you. I want to say two things to you. I want to say that you say this every year.
I do.
And then I want to follow that up by saying you are bang right. You are bang correct.
It's just, you know, these pitches that they're playing on now. There's the, you know,
these what? Pitch. Sorry.
Yeah. Pitches. Sorry. These lady dogs we're playing on now.
Yeah.
Are phenomenal. You know, they're watered, they're green.
By the way, before I forget, my two daughters had an argument yesterday and one of them came downstairs screaming because the other one had given her a sprained ankle, which she hadn't. I mean, she's making it up. She ran in to tell me that her ankle was sprained.
Yeah.
And then the bigger one came down and said, well, she just used really bad words. And she said, you are an F word, A word, female dog. That's what she shouted at her. You're an F word, A word, female dog.
Told you years ago, mate, don't let them watch TV after 9.
Oh, no. So what she's saying is she's heard naughty words and she's basically calling her an effing a-hole bitch.
Yeah. No, we got that, mate.
Sorry, I didn't think you'd know what the A word was.
Angry. Ant.
Yeah.
But it's anyway. Just, so all the pitches are lush and green and top level. Do you know what? I was thinking about it earlier, and summer rugby, I'd love to watch it. But then how would you play? How would your local team play on a pitch that is just rock hard? Because, you know, local clubs just down the road, they don't water the pitches, do they? And you're going through, you know, the ankle turners where you've got divots in there that have just gone hard.
Shall I tell you how I reckon they'd play?
Go on.
This is how to alienate 95% of your audience. I reckon they'd just drop the ball loads. Because it's weird. It's like the first time you train on a 4G or a 3G, first time you do that, suddenly you're just moving that bit faster than you're used to moving.
Yeah.
And I remember Bath investing in a 3G training pitch, and it was mainly for the weather, but also because it was like you go and play on one of these things and it's kind of, whoa, we're not used to this and everything is faster. So once you're used to it, it's fine.
No, but I'm more about like injury, because it's going to be rock hard and there's going to be no giving the ground whatsoever. That's my point. It's going to be like dust on some of these rugby pitches. Like where I live in Penarth, you've got Old Pens and Penarth Rugby. And I've been there in the summer. There's no give in the ground whatsoever.
Did you ever play for them?
No, but they keep asking me to play for the Vets, but I won't.
No, not with that knee, boy.
No, I mean, that
wasn't an insurance job, that knee, was it? It's actually knackered.
No, it's properly gone. But good enough for golf. So every cloud. And I've got out of the game of my health.
Sorry?
I've got out of the game of my health.
Yeah, too right. Yeah. I had an interesting...
what have you been up to?
No, not interesting. I'll tell you now. But with regards injury, Duncan Bell always says, how's your hurty finger? Because you were tied with a hurty finger. And it's like, it wasn't because it hurt. It was because my hand was dying effectively. And it is genuinely fine. Like, I can't feel the left half of my right hand very much.
Oh, lucky
but
you.
Today, I know, right? Today, for the first time, I was in the gym, wasn't going to mention it, but I've stopped lifting anything that's very heavy because I don't really need to. But I went a little bit heavier and just went a little bit harder on the old single arm row.
Yeah.
Not massively heavy, but a little bit harder. And my hand just couldn't grip it. And I didn't realize it couldn't grip it until I dropped it and it bounced off the bench and smacked me in the calf and gave me a little dead calf. Because I dropped it and I looked at my hand and thought, my arm is not tired, my back is not tired. What's going on? And I just think my hand just couldn't grip it.
Don't free climb up any mountains. That's my advice to you, mate.
I watched Free Solo last week. Heard of it?
No.
Mate. Right? It's this guy who is one of the world's great free climbers, which is where you climb serious cliff faces and rock faces without any safety equipment at all.
Yeah.
So absolute headers, the lot of them, right? they're dying all the time, mate. There's like a 3 in 2 chance that you're going to die. So basically, you always die. No, but these guys die a lot, and they've all got loads of friends that have died doing it because it is a ridiculous thing to do, right? So, but he went to climb El Cap, which is El Capitan, which is one of the, it's one of, it's like kind of like the ultimate sheer rock face on Earth. And he'd wanted to do it forever, and I think people have tried and died. And it's this really hyped in little independent movie, documentary, fly on the wall thing of this guy attempting it and building up to it. And I was told by loads of people to watch it, and one of them said, watch it, it will change your life. And it didn't change my life. Okay. It's very, very good, and it was enthralling, and I didn't press pause once through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a watch, but... I mean, what it was an incredible effort from him. Incredible.
Have you watched? I would actually quite like to see that. Have you watched? Well, no, you have because you told me about it. Fleabag.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, I'm on episode 3, series 1. So I've got loads to do. But
It gets better. Episode 1 was brilliant. Episode 2 is comfortably better. And yeah. I'm going to say this to you now. Okay, there'll be something I haven't seen. I know that there is nothing currently on television that is better than that. Series 2 of Fleabag is absolutely
amazing. Series 2,
good.
Okay.
It's unbelievably good. Like, sitting there watching it, like, I know nothing about making TV shows. I know we do rugby stuff, but we don't make TV shows. We talk about rugby. I honestly don't know how they do it. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, whoever has made this and written this is a genius. Turns out it's all her. And, oh my God, mate, the next series is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, good. Well, I look forward to that. Anyway,
lucky
so
you.
You watched that.
So I hosted David Strettle's testimonial dinner the other night.
Yeah.
Johnny Gould did the auction there as well. Phenomenal. Up at the brewery with MBN, which is Lush. You know, the MBN crew boy.
Yeah.
So all the guys there, I've done so many events with them, and there's never been a bad one because they... everything's just perfectly run, and so that was nice. Then it's one of those things on the Thursday that someone said, "Do you fancy coming up and speaking at our rugby club?" And you're like, "Yeah, you know, you should do these things. Everything can't be corporate in the city. You got to give something back." So I was like, "Yeah, sure." And I did this last year where I just said, "Yeah, sure, I'll come along to that. I'm free on that day." Michelle's like, "Yeah, you can come. What do you want him to do? Do whatever you want, and that's fine." So then I realised on about Tuesday that it was in Wetherby, which is 4 hours north of London by car.
Ouch.
So popped up there, but actually it was very nice. Wetherby Rugby Club is a very nice place. They were lovely people. And I stayed, Paul Miller, he sorts out a lot of speakers for things, but he's a lovely man. And he basically said, you've got two choices. You either stay in this hotel in town, you can have a nice look around. And I said, look, I haven't got time to look around. I didn't realise how far it was away. I'm coming in, I'm doing the job, and in the morning I'm getting up at 6:30 and driving back to London. He's like, right, so I'll stay near the motorway. So I stayed in the Days Inn on the A1M Wetherby services. So outside the front door was a Greggs, didn't go in there. I think there was a Subway, didn't go in there. But I did go to Costa drive-through, and this is not a plug, got nothing to do with Costa, but one of the blokes at the dinner who played for Wetherby, called Alex, who had a top knot, which is odd, he came up to me and said, because I got on the mic and took the piss out of them for putting me up at the Days Inn, even though I did have a choice. And he was like, are you really staying there? Because there's a Costa drive-through. Go there in the morning, I'll text the team now, text my mate now, whatever. And they'll sort you out. So I drove through the little Costa drive-through and said, hello, can I have a cappuccino, please? And
it's
Alex said
David
to say that
Flatman.
He sent me. Alex said to say that he sent me, and she was like, Flats White. I said, sorry? Flats White. It's got you, Flats White. I said, yeah, sure, if that's what you want me to be. And I said, how much do I owe you for the coffee? And they said, that's on us. Have a lovely day. So that is £2.50 saved.
Oh, I thought you were going to get like the cheese toast, cheese and ham toasty. I thought you were going to get the almond.
I didn't want to take the Mickey, boy.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take the
a
Mickey.
Free coffee's good, though, isn't it? You know, that's a nice way to start your day.
And it covers my 8 hours of unleaded in my V8 car.
Yeah.
Just about £2.50 probably covers it.
Yeah. Where are you getting your fuel from, mate? Texas.
Yeah. Anyway, that was nice. But on Friday night, I did hosted the Exhibition News Awards at Battersea Evolution, which was something a bit new. I mentioned it earlier, actually, but it was, yeah, it's an interesting, you know, it's not interesting. I'm not going to tell you it's interesting. You can decide for yourself, but it's something different because host the actual awards and you know, you get on at 9:30, 9:45, and there are 23 awards with shortlists.
Ooh.
And it's like, right, we got to rip through this. But equally, if you just do the formalities, you may as well get somebody from, you know, the gardening team to do it because they're just
reading. Or the production company have put it together, yeah.
Yeah, so you may as well get someone else to. So you've got to inject a little bit into it, but it can't take very long. And that's interesting, and that was something very new. And then it was up to the London Stadium for Saris against Quins. And again, we'll talk about the rugby in a minute, but I think my employers might not appreciate hugely my comments on social media after that. We had to do a social media push for things, Durders and I, and
I've seen
I just said I don't like that stadium for rugby. I'm not sure. I don't like it. You're too remote, too far away from the pitch. Great for athletics. For me, it's a pretty difficult place to generate any sort of atmosphere. And I love Wembley for rugby. Wembley for rugby is the best for me. It's brilliant.
Well, I listened to on Channel 5 doing your comms. Mm-hmm. Your hatred for the stadium didn't come across, so well done.
No, I don't hate the stadium. It's just he asked me afterwards,
sorry,
and I
dislike
said,
dislike it. Hate is a strong word. There's a lot of stadiums like that, mine, that you're just miles away from.
Yeah.
I always think that with Edinburgh, when they've got that one running track down one side. Sydney Cricket Ground for some of the Super 14 rugby is just...
It's anywhere where there is cricket or athletics.
Yeah.
Because of the shape of it.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, but it just... I mean, you commentate from a point and... You know, I kept reminding myself to look at the pitch. And I was with Conor McNamara and Paul Grayson, and like what you want to do is take a look at the whole pitch, but you basically have to commentate off your little monitor, which is fine.
That's what people see though when you're listening.
Yeah, it is, but ideally you want to be able to look at the pitch so you can add something a bit wider, and
then you
can see the bigger picture, you click through, you press your little button that makes you go silent to the listeners, you go straight to the director and say, can we replay the last couple of breakdowns, but from camera one at the back or from this camera with a wide angle?
You're on the lazy mic there, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it. Cough mic or whatever it is. But you can't do that there because you can't keep your eyes on the big picture because you're so far away. So I don't know. It's not that I don't like it. I just think it's...
There's better facilities around to play a rugby
I'm sure they want to move it around. But Twickenham's fine for those games. It's decent. But Wembley's the one.
Yeah. Okay.
It's brilliant.
Nice.
I don't know. Almost I'd rather they went to like Craven Cottage or something and stacked it out instead of having 30,000 empty seats at the London Stadium. I don't know.
I agree with you, mate.
Yeah. So then this is in a fascinating professional editorial twist. We were supposed to go to, so that was the live game. We were supposed to go to Chiefs against Bath Sunday to film the highlights, and the decision was made that we're not actually going to go there because we're going to film the highlights from the London Stadium because we're all together, and to go from East London to Devon unnecessarily, a whole team of people, let's do it here. So we get Sunday off, which is nice, but it does mean that once everyone else goes home, you've got to sit down and watch four games of rugby, take notes and eventually do highlights on them. So we got out of there very late, which is fine. But I think the primary reason for not going to Chiefs was because it's kind of unnecessary and kind of not an effort, but it doesn't really make fiscal sense or whatever. But also because it was kind of like editorially, what does it really give us? What is riding on that game? Really, Bath aren't good. Basically, I think the decision was Bath are never going to win it. Chiefs are just going to stay top. So there might be a couple of nice tries, but ultimately... you'd put your mortgage on that result. And they would, I was like, well, you can't write it off like that. And they were dead right. They were completely right. So it's funny. So editorially, it was, although it's Chiefs Bath and it's a big game, there's very little riding on it, really. So yeah, there you go. What I've been up to, isn't it?
Okay.
And it's Monday now, boy. And I'm, tell you what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to Piccadilly in town to sit around with 10 or 12 RPA reps and player reps and all that stuff. I think maybe a couple of coaches with Christian Day. And he's trying to do one a month. We're going to have a little chat with I'm going to have a little chat with these guys about sort of life after rugby and preparing for all that stuff. So it should be interesting, and more to the point, there should be a lot of protein and red wine involved. Should we talk about rugby, Tom?
Let's talk about Kevin, Dave.
Let's talk about Kevin, Tom. Leicester against Northampton Friday night. Wow. Saints buzzing, fizzing. Outstanding. Yes. Cobus Reinach, joke's good. Dan Bigger, wowzers.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. How good was Collins for that Reinach try?
Oh, he's funny, because I said to someone, I think it might have been a Saints fan or someone, I said a while ago, I can't believe Tom Collins isn't just out and out first choice. And they said, yeah, but, you know, he's a bit inconsistent. And I was like, is he? Every time I watch him play, he looks rapid and hard to defend.
Yeah, he's a very good player. He doesn't stop, does he? I mean, who would you rather, him or Ollie Thorley in your team?
Ollie Thorley over pretty much anyone at the moment.
Okay, but Tom Collins is good. He scored two tries as well. But my favourite was certainly the one that Reinach finished. And I know we've said this so many times, but it just, when I look at Cobus Reinach, you know, you see a tough little nugget of a player, and I never expect him to be as fast as he is, but he is. You know, he showed great wheels to get on the end of the Collins try. Just incredible.
Well, he's only got little legs, isn't he? Because he's a scrum half. He shouldn't be that quick, because they're all quick off the mark, but top end, they've only got little legs, haven't they?
Yeah, it's very true. But when you're 20 points up at 20 points to three up at half time, that's a long way to come back for any team. And they tried. Ford slithers through. I don't know how he manages to get through. It just opens up for him. Tom Young scores as well. But Northampton Saints.
Shank boy.
Hat off.
George Ford continually does that.
Yeah.
So
he is
a player who has been excellent for Leicester Tigers this season. He's been brilliant whenever he's played. For England, he's got almost no game time. And when he's got some, he's looked really, really good. So it's really odd that he seems to be kind of an undiscussed player these days. But he was really good. Leicester's set piece is excellent and improving. Their attacking game, when they're on the front foot, is decent because they got George Ford at 10. Sam Harrison is a proper, you know, a really good asset for that club, but his service wasn't quite quick enough for Ford. It didn't look on Friday night. The pack wasn't quite dominant and on the front foot. And again, it's their defence. Get this, right? Bristol run it from everywhere, don't they? We know that. They go, go, go. They carried ball in hand for 492 metres on Saturday against Worcester. That is a lot. Until you read that Northampton carried for 502 metres, so 10 metres more against Leicester in the first half alone. Like, they are literally making yards for fun. It's way too easy, way too easy. And how many inside balls can tens or forwards give, you know, one pass out from the ruck before elite defenders? It was JB from the Egg Chasers pod that said it on Twitter. It's a really good point. It's like, how many inside balls does it take for a professional defence to take notice?
Yeah.
And I know Phil Blake's in there now, and they'll start making improvements, but those improvements have not begun yet. They got shredded.
Talking about inside balls, there was a lovely one from Don Armand. Puts it inside to, it is Yandel.
Jack Yandel.
Yeah. Puts one inside to him, just gets out of the range of, who's he out of the range of? He gets out of the range of Peronisi, I think, who just plants his feet. But it was a lovely ball and a lovely little inside run. I watched the Chiefs, Bath. As you would expect, I thought Ollie Devoto was really good. Again, shows that
really good.
He's a very big physical presence in that midfield when you don't really expect him to, because you expect someone like, I don't know, you look at who was up against Jamie Roberts to just dominate, you know, that physicality in the midfield, but he didn't really. A lot of it because when Jamie's running with the ball, people know he's coming, people know he's big, so they do sort of gang tackle him. But Ollie Devoto, you don't often see him lose a physical battle when he's carrying the ball, no matter who it's against. And he looks really dangerous.
He's a big boy as well. He's the same size as Jamie, you know. And what people don't all know about Ollie DeVoto, I only know because I was at the same club as him for a while, is that, and, you know, a bit like Liam Williams, he's one of those blokes that once you know, and you would not chin him in training.
Yeah.
Because he's a tough, hombre.
Well, he looks and he suits Exeter's game plan and style of play completely. Santiago Cordero, one of the best names ever, he's going to be a loss for them next year. I think he goes to Bordeaux, but...
Yeah, he's unplayable.
He is. He's a bit like Tom Collins with those sort of feet. You know, it's just sideways, backwards, forwards, sideways, backwards. So he never can use his momentum to tackle him. You know, you just got to try and get a hold of him. And when players like that are cutting back inside and looking for space, you just can't tackle them because they're that good.
It's just a shame that Chiefs, just their recruitment and retention policy is just so behind the curve that they're losing Cordero and they're bringing in an absolute nobody at fullback, isn't it?
Nobody, never even heard of him. Have you seen what he's done with his hair?
Oh yeah, I have, yeah.
Stuart Hogg has peroxided his hair blonde.
Good on him.
Well, for one, I don't even know whose hair it is to peroxide.
It's not his.
And what happens if the hair dies because he's put some bleach on it? He's back to square one. But Simmons isn't meant to start, but Steenson pulls up in the warm-up, which is probably the worst time ever.
Hurt his baby cow, didn't he?
Yeah, hurt his calf. But what a game he had as well, mind. Simmons to come on.
He is.
There was two or three line breaks he makes, really simply, just glides through. He is class. We've seen him in the Anglo-Welsh that was played a couple of years ago. Sort of 2-3 years ago, and that's where he learned his trade really. And now, eventually, when Steenson does decide to hang up his Irish boots, they've got a player that's had plenty of experience just to slot in.
You know, and you put on the day, okay, Chiefs are dominant because Don Armand was magnificent.
Yeah,
again,
he was.
Thought Johnny Hill played really well, and the scrum went really well. So they're on the front foot a lot, and DeVoto is fab. But then you look at Joe Simmons, who wasn't meant to, he's a young player. He's only played a handful of games, really. He's a young player, steps in last minute, literally last minute.
Completely.
And he'll have had hardly any phases with the team during the week. He won't, compared with Steenson, he won't have had many. And he's up against, whatever his 50-odd cap Grand Slam winner. And there is, I say this respectfully, there is absolutely no comparison in quality. There is no comparison and on the day. And it's just, I just think that Chiefs have something going there, and to assume that they've just got loads of good young players, do you know what? It's a talent rich area. No, that's not true. It's no more talent rich than anywhere else. Think about London. There's more of everything in London except beaches. There's more of everything. So why aren't London clubs producing young players that are that good as often as Exeter Chiefs are? They've got something going in terms of player development and coaching.
Environment. Well.
Environment, yeah, and probably an attitude, and probably the actual technical ability and communication skills of coaches. I mean, it probably is that, but we don't quite know, do we? But I just think on the day, you've got a 50-odd cap international at 10, and you've got an 85 cap international at 12, and at 13, you've got Jonathan Joseph, who did look really sharp, to be fair, but they are three senior internationals, and Slade, okay, is a sort of equivalent, but DeVoto and Simmons are non-internationals, or DeVoto might have a cap, I can't remember, but they're not in the same league in terms of sort of what you assume pedigree. And there's absolutely, I wouldn't say there's absolutely no comparison. I think I might have gone a bit far with that, but
you've got Slade and Nowell, mind, Jack Nowell in there as well.
Oh, yeah, of course you have. I mean, Slade opposite Joseph in that midfield, they sort of cancel each other out in terms of quality, but DeVoto and Simmons were far better. And you just start thinking, that makes me think about, probably because Bath's my old club, I think about it more keenly or more regularly, but not much more. But you think about the recruitment strategy and stuff, and you know, when you watch Jamie Roberts defend and you watch him cut a line, and actually when he's been fit, I think he's been really, really good for Bath. I think he's actually been better than he was for Quinns, and he was a warhorse for Quinns, especially in defence. But I just think he's been good. But you just think if you pay tons of money for a mega cap, high cap player, they better be significantly, significantly better than anything else you've got coming through. because what you're doing is you're paying hundreds of thousands of pounds for someone who come in any position. So you've got someone like a, you know, they brought Charteris in too, didn't they? Who's got a wonderful reputation as a bloke and all that, but has barely played. So you're going to bring someone in on a ton of money. Good on them. And I'm happy they've got it, but they're only going to be there for a couple of years. Whereas if you get someone like a Charlie Yules, just to take the second rows, you know, because I mentioned Charteris, someone like Charlie Yules, I mean, when he makes mistakes and has a poor period of form, or not that he really does, but as it makes a few errors and doesn't impact games like he wants to, he is there learning from those mistakes. So, and he'll be, that the club will benefit from those learnings for 4, 5, 8, 10 years, hopefully. That's the idea. But with these guys that come in, they're only there for a couple of years. They're not building towards the future of Bath rugby. Luke Charteris won't be there in 5 years. Priestland and Roberts won't be there in 5 years. So you have to sign those top players, but they better perform, you know, they better perform, you know, three times better or twice as well as, you know, the young players coming through, because that's, they're kind of being paid to. And at Bath, I think that balance just isn't right. I don't think they get it right often enough. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thanks. The bit of news now, Rhys Priestland, I know his deal's not been sorted out yet. I think Bath originally said that they didn't need him. Now they're having contract talks with him. But could this be because potentially Gareth Anscombe might sign for him, because he hasn't sorted out his deal yet? Now, could Bath be waiting on Gareth Anscombe's signature? And if the Blues have managed to keep him, or he stays in Wales on a dual contract, or whatever, that is my theory, I think. So potentially.
I've got another theory.
Yeah, Danny Cipriani?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is a guess, but I'd be amazed if Bath aren't in the market to sign Cipriani.
Yeah, I've also heard Anscombe as well. So, I mean, yeah, what you're getting at the moment is Priestland is sort of digging in, I suppose, to see if, I don't know, Cipriani or Anscombe will go to Bath. Be ashamed to lose Gareth
Anscombe. I heard Bristol offered Priestland. You never know, but it's one of those things like,
if you're a good 10, you're going to get, and you're a decent 10, you're going to get offered contracts anyway, because that's your number one priority, really, in your team, isn't it, to find a number 10. You look at the Gwent Dragons now. They're not even called the Gwent Dragons. I just think they're called the Dragons. You know, they signed Moriarty. They signed Hibbard. Moriarty is just a class player. You saw that all the way through Six Nations. Class, yeah. But unfortunately, he's in a team that isn't really functioning that well. You've got Corey Hill as well. But they didn't recruit a 10, really. And they're struggling massively because of that reason.
It's an interesting one, because Bath have not yet seemed to trust Freddie Burns at 10. So by the time they put him on at the weekend, it's way too late. It's almost pointless.
Well, they can't trust him, but...
Well, they don't.
He's given them a few reasons why sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Behind a dominant pack, rather.
He's brilliant.
Brilliant player. So he's one of those things, but maybe they regard him as high risk. So that's why they just don't pick him that often. So they clearly don't. If they rated Freddie Burns really highly, they'd pick him every week. So they don't. And we all come to that point in our careers. Or you didn't, but we all do.
Yeah.
Neither did I. But some people do. But if we know that if they rated him as top dog, they'd pick him every week.
Yeah.
But pretty much as soon as Rhys Priestland is fit, or Freddie Burns makes an error in a game, Priestland's back in and Burns is on the bench. Now, it's an interesting one, but they said early on, we don't want Rhys Priestland next year. We don't want him. And the reasons they don't want him are definitely not what you might call Cipriani type reasons. It's because it's a rugby decision. So they don't, what they're saying is, when they release you, when you're fully fit and you're playing every week, is they don't rate you and they think they can get someone better. So what they've said to him is, we don't rate you highly enough to keep you or to offer you another contract. You can go. Actually, I think he did an interview that said he hasn't had any offers and he might have to retire a while ago. Maybe that's the case. That's still the case. Maybe it's not. But then they've said, actually, we're trying to get someone and we might not be able to get them. So actually, do you want to stay? So he's been told they don't rate him, but they've said, actually, we can't get anyone else. So maybe you want to stay. That seems to be what's happening to me, and that's pretty tough for a player. Mind you, if it's the only money you get offered, you take it.
Yeah, I mean, I was probably a little bit harsh there for reasons for him, Bath not to pick him. Just one just stands out, poor bloke. Which we know.
What, Freddie, you mean? Yeah. I was talking about Priestland there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. because they released him, they said, we don't want you. Actually, we can't get anyone else. Do you want to stay? And it's like, but you've already said you don't rate me.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a bit tough. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think they don't pick one of their, they got two high earning tens, top earning tens. They don't pick one of them if the other one's fit. And the one they do pick, they said they didn't want. They released him and said, we think we can do better than this. So that's what they're saying when they release you. So they don't, I think they've spent a lot of money and time on two tens and they don't think they've got the right guy. That's what I read into it. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Bath are gunning for Cipriani or Anscombe.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Worcester won at Bristol.
Yes, I saw that.
See Josh Adams finish down the side from that Hoggard pass.
Lovely finish. Not much room either. I'm so glad he's signed for the Blues. He's going to be great in the Guinness Pro 14. Although the Blues do have quite a few good wingers at the moment. Owen Lane is on fire as well for the Blues. He was phenomenal at the weekend. But I mean,
got a grand slam though, isn't he now? The Adams family.
Yeah, exactly. But it is heating right up at that bottom of the table now. There's no doubt about that. But
yeah,
Josh Adams is just, is there a better wing at the moment? Well, there are better wings at the moment. Sinotti for one. He was unplayable at the weekend. But Josh Adams is certainly in the best form.
Ollie Thorley as well as a horse.
Yeah, there's loads. But Josh Adams is in the form of his career at the moment, isn't he? And rightly so. He's had a taste for international rugby. He's proved that he can cut it with the best. Wales is one of Wales' best players through the Six Nations, that's for sure. And a lovely try as well. And Worcester just beat Bristol, don't they? 2 points.
Madigan kicked a win a couple of weeks ago, and this one he couldn't get, so you can't blame him for that. But no, a blimmin' close game that.
Do you see how powerful Ted Hill looks for his try?
Yeah.
What a pick and go that was.
I know. I watched it and I was, because you know when Eddie Jones picks someone and you're like, who?
Yeah.
And I was like, I watched him and he picked Gary Graham, the Newcastle back row, a while ago. And we were like, what? And you almost think he does it for attention. But I watched Ted Hill at the weekend and I thought, that is a powerful young man. Like, that is
very,
that try shouldn't really be scored, should it?
No, not at all. But he just looked incredibly dynamic, didn't he? That pick and go just bosh his way right over. Love seeing Morahan score. That was a really nice try down the right hand side. Great wheels to finish that off as well. He is one of their best players. He's like a guy you've just picked up off one of the fields playing touch rugby, isn't he? You know, he just looks like that. Just looks like a player with his cap on backwards, just playing touch rugby. And
are there any better wingers around at the moment? Josh Adams and Ollie Thorley and
Luke Morahan.
Ollie Woodburn had a really good game, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
See that pass he threw at the end.
Yeah. What was he doing? He was trying not to be selfish, and unfortunately, because the game blew up at the end and they scored, there wasn't a replay. But I don't know whether someone had switched off on the inside, because that's the issue you got when someone's going to score, and you know you think they're going to score. There's no need to pass the ball, and all of a sudden they pass it. You know, you have to react. So
yeah,
I'm not quite sure what went on there, but it didn't look good, did it?
By the way, I know we've moved on, but Rory McConachy on the wing for Bath. Come from sevens. Sevens players aren't meant to be good enough to play in the Premiership. That's what we always think. That's what we would like to think. Rubbish. He's been brilliant. He's been excellent. Just like Alib Brew, as soon as he arrived, was excellent for Bath. I know he's not fit at the moment, but they got some class wingers down there. Anyway, yeah.
But Worcester needed that win more than Bristol, because that brings Worcester to 32 points, three ahead of Newcastle. Bristol at 36, which you think they're probably going to be safe at 36, the ninth. Better than being 29 points like Newcastle are, but
right.
I mean, the top of the table is pretty standard. Gloucester done really well this year, haven't they? Exeter, Saracens are always going to be there. Wasps, I suppose, have been a little bit disappointing. They've had a poor mid to end season. We thought they'd be better, but
Tomboy, here's the thing about Wasps, right?
And Leroux at 15. hates tackling.
He hates it. He likes it for Springboks. He hates a tackle. But the thing is for me, and it's not all about this. Of course it's not. Wasps let Danny Cipriani go and say, we don't want you.
Yeah.
They can hardly win a game. Gloucester are doing nothing, really. Spending quite a lot of money on players, doing nothing. It hasn't really happened. They've been a high budget team for a long time that aren't winning. They signed Danny Cipriani and they're going for playoffs. They're properly in the fight for playoffs. That cannot, it's not all it, but cannot be a coincidence. Wasps have plummeted. Gloucester have taken off since he arrived.
And Wasps have lost Elliot Daly as well, who's been playing on the wing, I'd assume, through injury crisis to just try and get your best players out there, because they're De Jong and Lovabialu in the centre. So, I mean, Elliot Daly is just, he's an all-round player, isn't he? He's got the whole shebang. And to play on the left wing and not get utilised to the best of his ability. You
not
know,
get euthanized.
Yeah. But I just couldn't believe how Willie Hines just hurdles, basically, Willie LaRue for the try. You know, there's not much effort there. Willie LaRue only likes tackling players that have either gone past him and he can catch them from behind. That's it. Anything head on.
Like he did with Thorley for the Ackerman try.
Yeah, like he did with Thorley for that. But
that's a really good point, that, because I did say on the highlights thing, credit him with that tackle, because he made it, and it is a player that has gone past him, so it's not a head-on collision, is there?
No, it's a tackle that doesn't hurt either, and you can use their momentum to take him down.
That is such a good point. But I'm going to steal that on the telly.
I like Mark Atkinson. It was 100th cap for Gloucester. He had a good game. Mate,
he's like 6'5", you know?
Yeah, I know. He's massive bloke. He's
massive.
Remember we saw him a couple of years ago in Cheltenham?
Yeah, I saw him this year at Cheltenham.
I didn't see him.
Do you know who's not that big? Is Franco Mostert, the second row.
Really?
However, what I would say to you,
great
is
haircut.
Fact, he's not big at all. What
great
I say
haircut.
To you is, yeah, really good. He is, I think, one of the best players in the whole of the Premiership. His
all
work
right.
rate, I've never seen anything like it. And it's not just plodding around. He's the fittest player in the Prem. There you go, I've said it.
I know all teams look like they sort of play the same way when they get into the wide channels, you know, where they have sort of three lines of attack and the nine hits a forward who puts it behind to a 10. But what I love watching Gloucester get themselves into those positions, because they're often not looking to cut teams sort of first phase all the time. They're looking just to get into the wide channels. Then I'm watching, it's even better on a wide angle, just players, all of the players, forwards and backs, just interlinking, get themselves in the right position to attack, so everyone's an option. And when it works, it's just incredible. And you can just see Cipriani just jogging around, just telling people where to go, telling Willie Hines which way to go. And then when they get in a position and they attack, it's all, that whole line runs in unity. They're all options. It's a pleasure to watch. And it takes probably three or four phases sometimes to get them into that position. But when they do, they can cut teams to shreds. They look incredibly dangerous from sort of third or fourth phase attack.
And for the last couple of seasons, I'll tell you who else's attack was like that until this season, was Wasps. It was just like that.
Yeah.
They were the team that could concede loads of tries because they scored so many. And
Bath were. And Bath were, I think, when they had Eastman there at 12 and Ford at 10.
Ford and Eastman, yeah.
And Joseph, I mean, we've gone back a few years now, but
that was their best season. And Kyle Eastman is still, I think, a massively underrated player.
Mm.
He's such a good 12. Ball to the line and all that. Saracens against Quins. I was there, as we said, live. To be honest, fella, not a huge amount to report. Felt like Saris would do it, and they did it, and it was unglamorous. And it was the first half an hour of it was just dead. No atmosphere, balls down the whole time.
Who's the player in the second row for Saracens that looks like Will Skelton, but thinner and better and carries harder and has high work rate?
I think it's Bill Snelton.
Bill Snelton. What a signing he's been. He must be new to the club, because
he is funny, because he's lost about 43 stone and he is enormous. Still.
But he's lost that, yet he's a better carrier.
He was the best player on the field by 100 miles.
Mm.
And I saw Lawrence after the game, and Lawrence had done BT, of course, and I did 5. And I said, who'd you give man of the match? He said, Skelton, obviously. I was like, good, because I can't believe anyone else would have given anything else. Because he's got it all, full stop. He's got it all. He goes and goes. He has high impact in defence and attack, loads of skill, massively physical and really aggressive.
Yeah.
He is absolutely the full package. I think he is just brilliant.
Saracens,
what a player they've made
will
him.
Be kicking themselves just before half time. I can't remember who kicks it off. I can't remember if it was Good or Zalski or Williams. One of them
Good,
kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them kicks it off.
Oh, well,
I'm not sure. I think it might have been a miss hit. It didn't look like it came right off the middle of the boot, but just before the clock turns 40. So then Harlequins get a line out and Kerr scores, doesn't he? Off the back of it.
But they thought the clock was dead because the stadium clock said it was dead and it wasn't. And
oh, so that was a mix-up, was it?
That was the mix-up. Oh, okay. Quite interesting because the official timer's clock, Wayne Barnes is there, the official timekeeper's clock is not quite, and there's always a couple of seconds difference between that and the stadium clock.
That should never happen. That should never happen at this level.
It should never happen. It's ridiculous, but there is.
You need Tissot to time the games. That's what you need.
I think. I mean, I personally, if it's to make sure it's accurate, I'd probably go with Breitling. Completely up to you. But it's funny because I used to have this posh, not a super posh, but kind of low level posh watch, and I took it into a shop in Bath and said it.
Show off.
Just a couple of minutes fast, and he said, "Of course, I'm not going to be a nose about it. It was a it was a Rolex, and it was the cheapest one you can get, and all that. And it was a treat when I retired, and I'm not going to apologise for it anyway." So I took it in and I said, "It's about 2 minutes fast, 3 minutes fast all the time." And he goes, "Of course it is. It's a Rolex." I said, "What do you mean, of course it is? It's a Rolex." He goes, "If you wanted something to be accurate, get a Casio. If you want a brilliant piece of engineering, get a Rolex or an Omega, but they're not as accurate as digital ones or your phone. Deal with it."
Or you could ring, you could ring up the talking clock. It looks good though, doesn't it? And nothing wrong with being early, mate.
Maybe our mate had a roller, so it's got the timings wrong.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, you're right, mate. There wasn't that much to discuss in the Saracens game. Saracens did a job.
And Sale started well up at Newcastle, but Newcastle turned it around in front of a massive crowd at St James's Park. What a win.
Huge. Gonover makes a little mistake, doesn't he, for the, I think it's the McGuigan try, just bites in, absolutely no need for it.
Doesn't need to.
But Sonotti, he won man of the match.
He's the ankle snapper.
He changes direction in the air. There was one run where he beats Faf de Klerk and Danny Solomona, but way too easily. Just jumps in the air. You don't know which way he's going to go. It's like a running man sidestep in the air.
And when you watch Zach Kibirigi play on the wing, you think, oh my days, they can't drop him. Mm. I know Sinotti's good, but they can't drop him. Then they do, and they bring Sinotti in, and you're like, yeah, he's kind of got to play. Gonover obviously has to play because he made that error, but he's...
Oh, definitely.
I mean, are there any better wingers around? Ask yourself that.
I think I will retract that statement I made.
Just cut it out when you edit it, mate. It'll be fine. No one will know.
Floody scores, doesn't he? He goes over, just about touches the ball down, takes two or three over with him, and the rest is penalties.
Got a theory on this, by the
Takalua, way. Takalua, five penalties. Sale actually outscored Falcons, two tries
Carfzilla,
to one.
Carfzilla, you mean Takalua Carfzilla?
Yeah, I mean he's.
By the way, Callum Green has been cited since that game for biting Rob.
Yeah,
Weber.
See, I saw that during the game, and to be fair, Rob Weber is slightly choking Callum Green around his neck and mouth. And if someone's doing that to you and they're not letting go, what are you meant to do?
Tommy, it happened to me a couple of times when I was playing, and it's quite annoying, and I'll be quite honest, I wanted their arm or fingers at one point up at Welford Road. I won't say who it was. I wanted their fingers out of my mouth, and they were deliberately trying to rip the inside of my cheek and stuff, so I bit the fingers. You wanted blood, mate.
You wanted to taste blood. No, but like, what are you meant to do? If someone is choking you and...
You can't bite them, that's the thing.
And the gentleman's tap isn't working.
You can't, but you kind of sometimes do. So I don't know. It did look to me on the slow-mo like he bit him, but I was looking at...
No, it did look to me. And I can't remember who the ref was. It might have been Luke Pierce. Was it Luke Pierce? I'm not sure. I
can't remember.
He actually says there are bite marks on
Weber's
hand, on Weber's forearm. Yeah. But if you look at that, though, in the context of it all, it's not just his arm's there, I'm going to bite it. He is getting choked. It looks like it around the face. And, you know, you don't want... forearm in your mouth or your nose, do you? You won't be able to breathe. No. So,
by the way, before we go, drop my little theory on the Toby Flood try. And
yeah, go on. Sorry, go. Hit me.
How it fits with the theory of mine. I think you have in most teams, say in the Premiership, you have everybody is better than competent, but a professional elite level competent in elite terms between the 22s. And in the 22s, that is when your star players earn their status and as star players. So if you look at a Francois Lowe, right? Or you look at a Mark Wilson, let's say Mark Wilson. Mark Wilson is the guy that the team turns to, not always, but as often as possible, to deliver something defensively when you're under the pump in your own 22. So if you look at someone like a Francois Lowe and you say, what is his value? Everyone says he's world-class. What is his value? Well, his value is nicking ball mainly. But he'd done it so many times in pressure situations at the key moment, like Steph Armitage used to, so many times that actually he becomes a star player largely for that reason. And when you get into opposition 22s and you're in decent positions, then you're attacking star players, which are usually fly halves. They have to produce. It is their job to produce. Gonova is there for that reason. Gonova is not there for what he does between the 22s. He's actually not there for what he does in his own 22. He's there as a strike zone player, whereas Sinotti can rip you apart from wherever. Anyway, Toby Flood is a star player. Look at George Ford. Even in a struggling Leicester team, he gets the opportunity, he takes it. Cipriani gets the opportunity, takes it. Joe Simmons takes it. Francois Lowe nicks ball at the right times. And Toby Flood, all right, he's an old man now compared to when he played for England, but he's still got it. And at that key moment, the star player, the 60-cap big name running the show for Newcastle, produced when it really mattered and scored a try that Sale will hate because he shouldn't have got through, but he did. And I just think the star players for me are either stars in the opposition 22 or stars in their own 22 quite often.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He always takes the ball flat, though. He was so good at that for England and for Newcastle and for his whole career, though, because he's so tall as well. And there's actually a fair bit of weight behind him, so he always gets his arms through the tackle. And he gets that ball free, and you've just got to run angles off him, and he will offload for you all day. But showed the old dog still got a bit of power in him as well.
He has, isn't he, the old boy?
Yeah.
He's not all ears. He's not all ears.
I actually enjoyed Tom May's commentary as well.
I did as well, yeah.
Yeah, I hope he listens to this. I know he won't, because he has his own podcast. Doesn't everyone?
Everyone's got a podcast now. Are we going to move on?
Yeah, we'll do something else. We'll do a YouTube channel. How about that? Get Gordon the Gopher,
shall we?
Basil Brush.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. Right, lad.
Okay, boy.
Hey, well done today, fella.
You have a good week.
And you, boy.
And, I mean, let's get some questions back in, please.
All right,
send us some questions.
Yeah.
Send us some questions on Twitter, because, I mean, we did do a thing at the start this season with mobile phone and, you know, giving us jokes.
Lost, though.
No, it's not that. I just don't know where it's gone. I've lost it.
Oh. probably on the blimmin' lash, knowing you. You're mad.
It will turn up, won't it? It will turn up somewhere.
You are blimmin' mad. All right, good luck to you, and happy Brexit, okay?
Well done, fella.
Cheers, fella.